Mikey and Emma.
I want that guy's baby.
Who does this, you know? That's Fruit Loop.
Yeah, mate, it's awesome, mate.
Oh, my gosh, are you serious?
Oh, I'm like, oh, you're a jerk.
People like you make it bad for all the other young people.
So embarrassing.
You speak from the heart. You speak the truth.
I love your show.
Oh, my God.
Dangerously Live on DAB Radio and the Listener app all over Australia. I can tell you got beat energy. This is Mikey and Emma on R&B Fridays Radio. 3, 2, 1,
and I'm on. And welcome along to the Mikey and Emma podcast. Emma, hello.
Yo.
Hey, 1 in 5 people reckon they could do this in their relationship and get away with it. Is it you? Find out what it is coming up today.
Also, a hot or not for the dudes today. It's all about men's hair, which I know can be a sensitive topic.
Yeah.
But I'm here to make you feel better, guys, because I think this thing is really hot. Plus, Gen Zs keep ripping on us millennials, and the latest thing I know for sure I'm guilty of. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. I bet you do it too. We'll tell you what it is coming up soon. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. This is why I'm hot.
Hot or not?
I want to do a hot or not today on dudes' hair.
Oh, yeah. Guys Something can be sensitive, Emma.
Very sensitive, but I do think that this is going to reassure men.
Okay.
That something that they do with their hair is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Not hot. It's like, remember, and I always will go back to this example, when we did a hot or not on camel toes.
Hot. Every man loves camel toes.
Because every woman is like, oh my God, camel toe, everyone's looking at my vagina.
Mm. No, we like it.
No, you like it. And it just made me feel so much more reassured. This is what I'm going to do for men in their hair today.
Ah, is it about their junk? No. It's hair, yeah. Oh. Mm.
Hair on their head. Okay. So yeah. A recent study found that plucking out grey hairs means that they will never grow back. About taking it out means that, no, the follicle will just like be dead.
Oh, you could end up bald then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you keep pulling them out, if you get lots of greys, you keep pulling them out, there's never going to be any hair that regrows there.
Uh-huh.
And it got me thinking about like guys with grey hair.
Oh, I don't like.
Salt and Pepper specifically, not Silver Fox, because there's a difference. Silver Fox is full grey.
Yeah, so a bit of hair, a bit of grey.
A bit of grey, right?
Yeah.
I find that hot.
Hotter than a guy who's just got nice jet black hair.
Yeah, there's something like, I don't know, distinguished, suave. Mm. It's like that George Clooney vibe. Like,
okay.
When I met Enzo, he had a little bit, like he's got more grey in his hair and his beard now.
So ordinarily
I wouldn't have found that hot.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, the salt and pepper's really turning me on right now.
Okay. I have not found any greys. I'm lucky.
Yeah, neither have I, actually.
I don't know what I do.
Yeah.
Is anyone here on the team? Maddie, our producer, have you found greys?
This horrifies me, but I actually found my first grey when I was in the work bathrooms the other day. And I went out and I screamed to all the girls. I was so sad. It was horrible.
Oh, Maddie's got a grey already. Okay.
Can happen. It easily happens in your 20s. I know heaps of people in their 20s that got, especially for women, you get it like around the front of your forehead and near your ears.
Might be the job here. We're working it too hard. But okay. So you're saying guys with salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Because women?
Yeah, no. I'm going to guess what your opinion on this is.
Well, just it looks like an old witch.
You know, there was a phase there, and I think Rihanna actually coloured her hair like that silvery grey colour.
That's different.
It is. It's a very different kind of grey. And if it's not a pretty grey for a woman, then it just looks old and wiry.
But I'm not being a sexist pig here. I'm voting not hot for both. Like, if I started going grey, I would dye it immediately. I'd be off to the best colourist in the country.
You've got to be careful, though, because if it can look like you're wearing a toupee if you just do like a packet black dye.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that, like, was it Rudy Giuliani?
It was running down.
You can't get a color like that. Yeah. It needs to be as natural as possible.
You can get a natural, so it would blend in or not?
You would need to blend it in.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, but if you got grays now, you could probably get away with dyeing it exactly the color that your hair is now. But if you go too dark and it's too stark, the comparison between your skin and your hair, then you may as well be wearing a toupee.
Isn't it funny when you see some old men? I had a great uncle. He wasn't that great and he's dead. But he up until his 80s, had jet black hair. Yeah. And it looked like he dyed it. But I believe he didn't dye it.
Yeah.
You know how some, it can look like a toupee. I see what you're saying there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're voting hot.
I'm voting for hot salt for pepper salt and hair. Pepper I'm
voting,
dudes.
I'm voting not hot. I'd go and get it dyed. Kim in the newsroom, what are you voting for?
I think hot.
You like it? You like the salt and pepper look?
Yeah, I've had a few seconds to think about it. And I'm like, maybe I relate it to like experienced. I think, oh, Gray, maybe he's good at things.
Yeah. In the bedroom.
And then he could like protect us. Mm. Like he's kind of that older gentleman, you know? Yeah.
Okay, well, what about another man on the team though? Beachy, our audio dude. Salt and pepper hair.
Yeah, I think I go with hot.
You'd go with hot? You'd just embrace it? You wouldn't be off to a colourist like
me? I'm very into, diversity, I suppose. Like, if that's what your hair's doing, then rock it. Go with it.
Okay. Yeah. And Maddie, our producer, so you found your grey, you didn't like it, but what about on men?
It's a not for me. I remember I went on a date earlier this year and I rocked up and he had greys all around his ears and he had blonde hair, so I didn't notice in the pictures on Hinge, and it was just horrible. There was no second date.
Okay, whoa, because of the grey.
Yeah, it just, it gave me dad vibes. And I'm like, I'm in my 20s. I don't need to be dating someone who's grey.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though you found a grey.
Yeah, but she covers it.
Over to you, Karina. Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. What do you think? Are you voting hot or not for the salt and pepper hair?
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to vote not. Just personal preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a fan of the hair tinsel personally, especially on darker colour hair.
Yeah.
Like, it really sticks out and... Yeah.
What's tinsel? What do you mean tinsel?
It's like silver tinsel in their hair. That's what my hairdresser calls it anyway.
Ah, yeah, no, that's true.
You can even get that tinsel that's like silver and black.
Yes.
With the two colours.
Yeah, I get what you mean though. It kind of stands out like a little bit of tinsel. Mm. So, Karina, you don't find a man with that attractive. You'd prefer he dyed it.
Yeah, not definitely not on dark hair especially. Light hair, I reckon they can get away with it, but
Yeah, because it kind of blends
a bit
in.
Scruffy.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Thanks, Karina. Well, there you go. Guys, if you want to date Karina, you'd be dyeing your hair. What about Mitch? Hello, Mitch.
Morning, guys.
Hi. Hey. What are your thoughts on the salt and pepper hair?
Well, I'm told it's hot. My wife pointed it out to me. She's like, oh, you got a few greys sprouting there. And I was like, oh.
Wasn't it shocking, Mitch? Because I said I haven't had them yet. Your wife obviously pointed it out to you before you even noticed. How funny are guys? We never look in the mirror. When you saw the greys, were you a bit like, oh, I don't know about this?
Yeah, yeah, because I'm only 31 and my hair's brown. Like, I got mates in the Middle Eastern and Mediterranean and that, and they tend to go salt and pepper early.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Yeah,
but, but, and she's, I was like, oh, and she's like, no, it's hot. But I don't know. I was like, why? She's like, I don't know, it's just hot. And then I was like, well, not many women say George Clooney's ugly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so true. I mean, like, he's the poster boy or the poster man for salt and pepper. So, Mitch, are you going to keep embracing it now? Are you just going to keep going grey?
Yeah, yeah, I'm just going to let it go.
Good on you.
And is more coming in? Is it getting a lot now?
Oh, not really. No, there's only a few. Like Enzo, does Enzo have a few greys, Emma?
He does, yeah. And he had it when we got together, like 8 or so years ago now. So, like, he had a little bit in his beard and a little bit in his hair.
How is it now?
And now he's got more in his beard, but I still love it.
The beard one bothers me, Mitch. The beard one, it's like... Santa, you know?
Yeah, but he hasn't got a long Santa beard. Like, he always trims it. So. Yeah.
Anyway, Mitch, mate, you embrace it. And you know what? It's easier. You don't have to go and get it dyed.
That's so true. And you can just age gracefully. Again, this pisses me off. Men can just age gracefully, salt and pepper, silver fox, eventually. And then, like, for us women, it's like, oh, no, cover it up.
Would you have actually dyed it, though, Mitch? Because there's some men that wouldn't dye their hair, you know?
Nah, I don't think I would, to be honest. I don't, because then people would start noticing, you know. I worked with a guy and we noticed, like, oh, he's gone Just for Men.
Yeah, the Just for Men. That's the home packet one. Good on you, Mitch. Thanks for your call. Let's go out to our phone room. Producer Maddie has been taking more of your calls and we need to know, hot or not, salt and pepper hair, Maddie.
Mikey, we are outnumbered.
Yeah.
Our winner today with 88% of the vote is hot.
Wow, there you go.
88%.
Well, guys.
Embrace it.
Much easier than getting it dyed. And again, isn't it great being a man?
Age gracefully.
Yeah.
The character lines on your face don't matter. Yeah. Meanwhile, we're going to the salon every bloody other weekend, injecting things into our face to keep looking young.
It's good being a bloke. Yeah.
to my limits. Girl, when I break you off, I promise that you won't wanna get off. Things I would do to you.
Dangerously live on R&B Fridays Radio.
Well, what you say is where I bring you a new word or term that you can start saying immediately to all your friends and family.
Yeah.
This one today is another case of Gen Z's ripping a new one for millennials on TikTok.
That's funny. I don't feel like millennials ripped on the generation above, which is X. I think it's X, like people in their 40s like, and 50s.
I feel like X gets left out.
Yeah, then right? We go straight to the boomers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you do. You people in your 40s and 50s, you're not getting ripped on enough.
Exactly.
We need to rip on you more.
You know why? I think because boomers is such a definitive generation that X and the top end of millennials can kind of cross over.
They do. They kind of mix in together.
So they came out unscathed, whereas us millennials are just getting panned every, like, second day.
So what are millennials getting ripped on for today that you're going to teach us about?
This is called the millennial pause.
Well, it's kind of like menopause.
No.
Well, no, but I mean, it's a play on words for menopause.
Well, the millennial pause is the split second that millennials wait before they start talking in a video just to make sure that the video is actually recording.
Hang on, so 17-year-olds wouldn't. Yeah. They would just turn the video on and start talking.
Yeah.
They're saying that millennials, if we're recording a video,
we wait like a second to make sure it's actually counting. Like if you're filming a video on your iPhone, as if you don't wait until the 1 second kicks in to start talking.
Pick up your phone. I want to see you do it. I want to know if Emma does a millennial pause.
I 100% do it. Like I'll do a video now.
All right, so here we go, yeah.
But I don't trust
hit record.
That it's going to record straight away, so I'll hit it. Okay, so now I'm going to start talking.
You do a millennial pause.
Yeah, and they say the reason why might be like a technical hangover from using older technology that didn't start recording instantly. So millennials are like more accustomed to documenting our lives in photos rather than
video. Yeah, and TikTok's changed it. It's all video now.
Yeah, and Gen Z's have no qualms just hitting record and talking at the same time. They trust technology,
yeah.
We don't.
Right, there you go. The millennial pause. You know what? Next time you're on TikTok, you're going to see it. You're going to see videos from people that start and then start talking.
Well, Taylor Swift has been praised for being so relatable. People are like, God, will she ever stop being relatable? Because she does the millennial pause in all of her videos.
Well, there we go. The millennial pause. You know what, though? Still better than boomers. Here we go, ripping on boomers again. And like FaceTime. When you're talking to them and they've got their head down, like no one wants to see your triple chins.
And even if you don't have three chins, it looks like you've got three chins. It's like when you accidentally open the reverse camera, like the selfie camera, and all of a sudden you're like, am I that disgusting
it's
in
so
real
ugly.
Life?
Yeah.
Is that what people see when they look at
well,
me?
Well, millennials be like that all the time on FaceTime.
Live everywhere on the Listen app. Download it and search R&B Fridays Radio.
It's the Aussie dream to own our own home, but is that financially irresponsible? There's this new thing called rent vesting that might actually be better for us and leave us with more money in the bank. To tell us more, we've got Lloyd Edge from Australian Property Professionals. Hi, Lloyd.
Hi, guys. How are we?
We're really good. All right, mate. What is rent vesting?
Well, rent vesting essentially is being able to live where you want to live, which might be, you know, near the beach, for example, in an expensive area that you may not be able to afford the mortgage on to buy, but you can still get onto the property ladder by buying an investment property that's a bit cheaper to buy, but in a location that makes great sense as an investment in terms of it'll bring you good cash flow, it'll get good growth on the property and things like that. So you still own property, but you can then rent where you would want to live or it's close to work.
Because it is always cheaper, like a $2 million home, for example, is cheaper to rent than get a mortgage for.
Absolutely, that's very true. And the more expensive the home, the less rental yield you actually get. So a $2 million home might only bring in $700 a week in rent. So therefore, you're actually paying less rent. But if you're paying a mortgage on that, you could well be paying $1,500 a week or more in mortgage repayments, which is a lot higher. And of course, on top of that, you've got the deposit that you need to save to get off this property in the first place.
Yeah, gotcha.
I always found it so hard to wrap my head around rent vesting because I grew up, my dad was a finance man and he was always like, Emma, it's always going to be so great for you to own your own property. Is this rent vesting like a band-aid for the time being so eventually you can actually afford to buy in the area that you want to live in? Or is this like a long-term thing?
Well, it works both ways. It really depends on your goals. For some people, they may not necessarily want to be tied down to a mortgage and owning their own home, although that was, always been the great Australian dream. For other people, buying investment properties and getting the growth through them can actually help you get into your own dream home a little bit later on. But the benefits for rent vesting is also good for tax purposes because, firstly, you've got the tenants that are actually paying your mortgage, so you don't actually pay the mortgage, that's covered by the tenants, and that's all tax deductible. So, and then you've got the outgoings on the property, so the things you've got to pay like rates and things like that.
All tax deductible. Yep.
It
seems sensible, but would only work, correct me if I'm wrong, let's say you're renting a beautiful home by the beach where you want to live, but you are owning one or maybe more investment properties or perhaps putting that extra money into another investment, right?
Yeah, so I think what makes sense is that if you're renting a property that you want to be able to create wealth by putting that money into another investment. So I think the main thing is that most people do want to achieve some level of financial independence and try to look after their retirement in the future. So you don't want to just be renting and then, just sort of be wasting all your money on you know, on holidays or new cars or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's what some people do. But yeah. I think for me, definitely try and channel that money into another investment, which can help you, you know, a little bit later on.
Yeah, well, it's called rent vesting. So you also have to do the investment part. Why isn't this bigger in Australia? Is it because we've got it in our head that we have to own a slice of the great Australian dream?
I still want that. I'm not even going to lie. I still want that.
Yeah, but that might be all you own, right, Lloyd?
I don't want to wait like 20 years to get it, though. Like, I want it now.
Well, that's exactly right. And I think that's the way a lot of people think. But the thing is that if you try and get it now, you might end up getting something that's much smaller, not comfortable for you, or you need to live in an area, a suburb that you don't really want to live in.
Yes.
It's a long way from where you work and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, having that as a goal and doing it in, being able to achieve that in 15 or 20 years and then investing to get yourself there, I think that's a good goal to have. That's actually what I've done. And I even outlined that when I wrote my book, Positively Geared, where I actually wrote about rent vesting and how it helped me to achieve my dream home, because I couldn't have done that without investing in property. So it does have its merits. As long as you're being financially savvy with how you're actually building up that investment.
All right, so you're pro-rent vesting. Anyone? Should anyone do it? Should everyone do it?
Yeah, have we been doing everything wrong? Should everyone be rent vesting?
Well, it really comes down to your goals and what you're trying to achieve. I mean, I guess for some people, if you have a particular suburb you want to live in and you can afford to buy your own home there and you're comfortable with that and you see that as security, then that's okay for some people. So I don't think that everyone should have to do rent vesting, but I think the key is if you are struggling to save a deposit for an expensive property, and let's go back to that $2 million example that you used a little while ago, that's expensive because to buy a $2 million property, you're going to have to save probably $200,000 in deposit plus the stamp duty on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite expensive to get into. Now, you could go and buy an investment property and probably spend a quarter of that. You could go and spend $500,000 somewhere else on an investment property. You can actually, it might have a $50,000 deposit on it. Things are much cheaper. And then you'll be able to, get yourself a head there. And then you'll be able to rent that nice $2 million property. And then those expenses actually become someone else's and you're just paying the rent on it.
Oh, well,
so it really depends what stage of life you're in.
Yep, it makes sense. Rent vesting. There we go. Lloyd Edge from Australian Property Professionals. Mate, thanks so much.
Thanks, Lloyd.
Thanks, guys.
Where you from? And I admit it, I still got empathy, and you gon' feel it for 2 weeks when I release you in them streets and keep my Nina in discreet, keep the clean in my Jeep and put that Yeezy in your teeth, let my demons off they leashes, if you even think to speak, I'ma give a whole new meaning when you said you live in a dream, we could keep that sleeping, you gon' live with all your G's, count them sheep, time by Z, R.I.P.
Dangerously Live on R&B Fridays Radio.
Lock it, lock it, lock it.
Well, a new study has revealed that the average person thinks that they can unlock their partner's phone in 5 guesses.
Oh, they know them that well.
Yeah, so 31% of people say that, like, you know, passcodes and passwords are just different variations of the same thing with, you know, you just add extra symbols or numbers.
I know that's what I do. Yeah, because I don't want to forget. Mm. But then you forget the different symbol and the different number. There can be all kinds of confusion.
Yeah.
Okay, so they reckon they could crack their partners.
Yeah, in five attempts.
Do you reckon if we got Enzo's phone in here, within five you could crack it?
Yeah, I reckon I could crack heaps of stuff. But his passcode, I already know.
Oh, you know
his phone passcode,
I don't like that. Are you one of those girls? You're like, give me a passcode.
Do you think that I'm one of those girls? Like, for all the years that we've been working together, do I strike you as one of those girls that demands to know the passcode? No.
Oh, how do you know it? You shouldn't know it.
I know it from him saying, hey, can you just unlock my phone and send a message to this person or change the song on Spotify to this or whatever.
I don't like that.
But, like, I've never used it to snoop, ever. And I never would because that's his phone.
I feel... And this is a bit of a debate here then.
Mm.
I feel that you shouldn't know your partner's and your partner shouldn't know yours.
Okay. Is that for privacy reasons or because you're hiding stuff?
No, you're not hiding anything. It's privacy reasons. Mm. I found out my ex went through my phone, not for anything bad. She admitted it. She was genuinely organising a surprise for my birthday. But she told me, you know, when she told me about the surprise.
Mm.
And I said, oh, how did you organise all this? And she said, oh... I think I dropped my PIN code once.
Yeah.
And she remembered it. And then went through my phone in the middle of the night to find my friend's numbers to organise the thing. And I didn't like that. I like that she'd organised it.
Yeah, that's nice. But the fact that she didn't go through, like, Facebook Messenger or something instead of using your phone to do it.
It's a weird one, right? Because our phones, we're on them all the time.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's private. Like, I have notes in there. I have messages. I could have been talking about her.
Yeah.
I could have been organising a party or a thing for her.
Whatever. Anytime a guy says I was organising, no.
Don't you feel that your phone is very, very private, though? And I'm not saying you're up to anything. It is just, you know, like you
it's
could be looking up a medical condition. You could be... organising some sort of visit to a doctor that you don't want her to know about.
I suppose, but also, like, so I know Enz's passcode to his phone. He knows mine.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, oh, can you send this person a message? Can you just quickly...
Yeah, I don't like that.
Whatever. And I know that he's not going through my phone either.
Yeah.
We do it out of convenience,
so
right?
I
think that, like, you can know, but don't use it for bad reasons. Don't use it for snooping reasons.
Yeah.
Don't use it just because you feel like it's your right to go through their phone. No. If you use it, you only use it for practical reasons.
I feel like if it was 1994 and you kept a paper diary, you wouldn't... you wouldn't go through their paper diary. That's how I feel phones are like diaries.
Yeah, okay.
You know what this is?
You are about to enter the courtroom.
Yeah, the court of Mikey and Emma. Do you have the right to know your partner's password, passcode, or is it private? Are you with me? You're not hiding anything. It's just something they don't need to know. They don't need to know everything about you, and they don't need to go through
your phone. You realise that you saying, I'm never going to tell you my passcode because that's private, makes you look shady AF.
Yeah, well, they shouldn't ask. They shouldn't ask.
Yeah, I never asked for it, to be fair.
And I wouldn't ask, and they shouldn't ask.
Yeah.
But, Emma, you're saying it's okay to know?
I'm saying it's okay to know as long as you don't snoop. The only reason you should be using, like, cracking into your partner's phone is... for practicality reasons.
Convenience, yep.
Yeah.
1-300-161-006 or hit call now on the listener app. Do you have the right to know your partner's password and passcode? What do you think? Call in. Shane, welcome to the court. Hello?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for having me again.
You're right. Now, Shane, what do you think? Do you have a right to know your partner's password?
Nah, look, I'm with you, Mikey. I think some things stay private in a relationship. And look, it doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing.
Mm. Mm.
But I think if your partner asks you for your passcode, I think that's a bit rude and shows insecurity.
And they're like, why won't you show me? Why won't you show me? Yeah.
And look, I think that out of a matter of principle, if they asked, I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, okay.
Just because of the fact you asked. But look, I think if it's offered to you,
that's different.
That's different.
As long as you don't misuse it, right, Shane?
What's that, sorry?
As long as you don't misuse it. You don't, like, break into your partner's phone when you shouldn't be.
100%. Look, my wife offered me hers. I said, no, it's fine. I trust you.
Yeah, okay.
Look, if you're asking for it, it's just you're automatically showing signs of insecurity and no trust there whatsoever. So.
Oh, yeah. No, and you know what? If they ask for it, give it to them and then change it.
Yeah, but then that makes you look guilty. Then it makes that person look insecure because they asked for it in the first place, and then you look like you're doing the dodgy.
Well, they shouldn't ask
when
for
really
it.
You're trying to teach them a lesson.
All right, Karen, you're on. What do you think?
Oh, good morning. I'm with Emma. My husband and I, he's quite open about his phone, and I'm quite open about mine. Mm-hmm. He'll go, hey, can you just send my email? Hey, yep. Did you see this picture your sister sent? And he'll just pass his phone over. I'll unlock it, or vice versa.
Yep.
He's very open about it. It's not that you're not hiding anything, but I don't have anything on there that I wouldn't care that he saw.
Mm.
I've come from a relationship where an ex-boyfriend, he kept his phone in the bedroom. It never came out. I wasn't allowed to touch it, look at it, nothing.
Whoa.
He ended up being a cheater.
Of course. That doesn't surprise me at all. Someone who won't even let his girlfriend look at his phone.
Yeah,
like,
something's going on
the
there.
Room?
Yeah, so when you got into this new relationship with your partner now, did that make you feel a bit funny after what had happened? Like, if your partner had been a bit cagey with his phone, were you burnt by that?
At the beginning, I really was. And I had to be careful not to be like the crazy Karen and be like, hey, who's on your phone? And he would just go, oh, hey, it's my brother, or oh, who's... Or he'd say to me if his phone was ringing, oh, who's that? And I'd be like, oh, it's so-and-so. He's really open and shares and tells everything, like...
Yeah, and then you got no need to snoop. All
yeah,
right.
Exactly. If you're open and honest from the start, then that's a good thing.
I'm losing in the courtroom at the moment. Shane was with me, but what about Jessica? Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Welcome to the court of Mikey and Emma. What do you think? Is it all right to know your partner's password?
Look, Mikey, I am going to admit that you are going to be defeated here. I'm with Emma all the way.
Yeah.
Her password to my husband's phone. He gets me to put on his TAB bets when we're driving. He's like, hey, put $20 on his horse. And I'm like, okay. So I know it for practicality reasons.
Yeah.
I know he knows my password, but I would actually be insulted if he went through my phone because when we're having a rough patch, my girlfriends are my go-to and he can bitch and whinge about him to them and he doesn't need to know about that.
No, that was the point I was trying to make. Yeah. Like, you know,
conversations.
They're private conversations. You could be making notes about him, Jess. You could be talking to your mum or your friends about him. You could be organising a surprise, whatever it is. You don't want them to see that. You want your privacy, right?
But I think it's the level of trust that why would he go snooping through my phone?
Yeah.
And do you trust your partner that he wouldn't go through your phone?
I know he has before, but I do trust him.
What did he go through it for?
I think he was just feeling a little bit insecure at a time because, you know, I take my phone with me if I'm in the shower and I just leave it on the bench, just out of habit. We do it to this day. We've been together for 15 years.
So yeah.
There's definitely no reason. I think it's just out of habit. Your phone goes with you wherever you are. So I know he did go through it one time after a few beers, but there was definitely no evidence that he found on my phone.
Okay, because you cleaned it all out before.
I do find it weird when people take their phones everywhere. Like, why are you bringing it into the shower? You can't even read it in the shower.
No, but you
might. Unless you're listening to music on your phone.
It's the bloody problem with phones, right?
What are you doing with your phone in the shower?
This is the problem, though. They bring up all these paranoia and stuff in relationships that weren't there before mobiles. They weren't, right? Yeah. But I would bring my phone into the... If I was playing on my phone, walking into the shower, I'm going to do a dump before I'm showering. I'd have my phone in there.
A pre-shower dump?
Yeah, but I'm not hiding it.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, I think I lost that.
What's the verdict here?
The verdict is that you are allowed to know.
You're allowed to know.
But don't snoop.
But don't take advantage and misuse your knowledge of said passcode.
Because they could be organising a surprise for you. You never know. What did she say? What you say? Oh, that's
that you only meant well, cause you did what you said.
Jason Derulo.
That it's all for the best, cause it is.
I was so wrong for so long, only trying to please myself. Girl, I was caught up in her lust when I don't really want no one else. So, no, I know I should have treated you better, but me and you were meant to last forever. So let me in, give me another chance to really be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, chance not to chance. Be your man. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do. But when I become a star, we'll be living so large, I'll do anything for you. So tell me, girl,
what you say? That you only meant well, well, cause you did. What you say?
Oh, what you say? What you say?
That it's all for.
Girl, tell me what you say. I don't want you to leave me, though you call me cheating. Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right, girl. Tell me what you say. I don't want you to leave me, though you call me cheating. Tell me what you say. I really need you in my life, cause things ain't right. Cause when the roof caved in and the truth came out, I just didn't know what to do.
I just didn't know what to do.
But when I become a star, we'll be living so large, I'd do anything for you.
So baby, what you say? What you say? That you only meant well. Well, of course you did. What you say?
Oh, what you say? What you say?
Beluga Heights.
Live everywhere on the Listen app. Download it and search R&B Fridays Radio.
Our debate about designer versus rescue dogs ruffled a lot of feathers this week. Have a listen to Caitlin.
I want a puppy from the pet shop and my partner wants a rescue. But there are no puppies at rescue centres and there are no caboodles at rescue centres.
Okay. Your partner wants a rescue dog, you want the designer cavoodle puppy.
Yeah.
So the conversation was, is Caitlin a bad person for wanting that designer dog over a rescue dog? And we thought we'd get someone from the RSPCA to weigh in. So we've got Christy Blake. She's the General Manager of Animal Operations and Fundraising at the RSPCA. Hi, Christy.
Hello, how are you?
We're good. Just so you know, my cat, I got her from the RSPCA, so...
I love that.
Yeah. Only a couple of $100 from memory, and she's fine. She does the trick.
She's beautiful.
Well, no trick. She's a cat.
I'm sure she's perfection.
You know what cats are like. Hey, tell us, you heard Caitlin there. Is she a bad person?
Oh, look, no, she's not a bad person, but She should listen to her partner.
Okay, the partner's the better person. Is it a myth that all the dogs in shelters are aggressive? We had calls like that. And not good for young families. Is that a myth?
It's a big myth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really common misconception that we have that there's particular breeds that come into shelters and rescues that have aggression issues.
Yeah.
Lots of people sort of point fingers at Staffies and Mastiffs. And it's not true. We have so many animals that come through our shelters that need homes. They're all beautiful. They all need lots of love.
Yeah.
And it's not the breed. It's the way that you look after them and the way you care for them. So we make sure that all of our animals are behaviorally assessed before they go up for adoption, because we understand we have a big responsibility to make sure that any animals we're putting out into the community are safe and will make good citizens.
Yeah.
So that's a really big, I think, thing that people don't realise what happens behind the scenes before an animal actually goes up for adoption.
Yeah, you wouldn't put a dog up or a cat up for adoption if you hadn't tested that it would be suitable to be adopted.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, because it's not good for the animal to go out into a home and then come back to a shelter. It's not good for that family. It's not a nice experience. So it's a really important part of our process to make sure that all animals that do go out into new homes are ready for that step.
If you are a real purebred snob like our listener, Caitlin, can you get purebred rescues?
You can. There's lots of different rescue groups around the country that specialise, you could say, in particular breeds.
Mm.
At the RSPCA, we always have a plethora of different breeds that come in. We have Staffies, we've got big dogs, little dogs, Chihuahuas, Corgis.
Cavoodle?
Cavoodles, yep, we do get Cavoodles.
Yeah, Caitlin could get a Cavoodle. Okay, they are there.
She absolutely could. So my advice would be to really have a look around, do your research, and I'm sure you will find a rescue dog that will give you everything that you need.
Yeah, two birds, one stone. You rescue and you get the breed that you want.
And you can get puppies too, right? You can get puppies.
Sure.
They're not all full, you know, old dogs.
Absolutely.
So tell us why we have you. I'm a big supporter of the RSPCA. Mm. Like you said, I got my cat there. How many rescue animals have you got? What do you need people to come there now?
We always need people to come and adopt animals from us if they are thinking it is the right time for them to come and adopt.
Mm-hmm.
Currently in New South Wales, we've got over 100 puppies that are ready for available and ready for adoption. That doesn't include the number of puppies that are too young to be rehomed and are currently growing up and getting older and learning good manners in our wonderful foster carer homes.
Yeah.
And we've also got hundreds of dogs that are currently going through behaviour assessments, medical rehabilitation before they go out for adoption. So there's no shortage of dogs, cats, rabbits, guinea pigs at the RSPCA.
Yeah, don't go to a pet shop. Go to the RSPCA. Christy Blake from the RSPCA, thanks so much.
Thanks, Christy.
Thank you.
And that's it for our podcast today. If you want to hear us live on the radio, you can get us every weekday morning on R&B Fridays Radio. Get that station on DAB Radio or your listener app.
On the potty tomorrow, Unhinged. These are the worst guys that exist on Hinge and their bios just suck. This guy is 39... but he's acting like he's 17. It is so lame. Plus, how is your car just hanging in there? Your stories plus a bunch more on the podcast tomorrow.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.